Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. As always, thanks for joining me this week. All right, so my quote is by the amazing Mark Twain, and he says, "The fear of death follows from the fear of life. A man who lives fully is prepared to die at any time." You know the old saying, if you can't see it, does it really exist? Well, life and death, I think, is such a big and maybe even sometimes controversial topic for us, just because we personally, thank goodness, have not experienced death firsthand because we're alive, doesn't necessarily mean that it's true, right? That we know death is true, but what happens after that? Well, there's been tons of research, papers written on this topic, yet we question this whole after-death kind of concept. Today, you're in store for a wonderful treat. My guest for second time on the show is Annie Mattingly, and she's written a book called The After-Death Chronicles. Now, the book begins with a story of Annie's daughter who had passed away and appeared to her in the early morning. The experience was absolutely transformative for Annie, so that she thought, I have to share this story, and discovered that this experience, that she wasn't alone and that others around the world were experiencing it as well. So, and I just want to read, Dr. Christine Northrup wrote a beautiful testimonial for Annie's book, and she says, read this book. The After Death Chronicles is a must read for anyone who has lost a loved one. And quite frankly, that's nearly all of us. The information in this book provides solace and a great deal of hope. It's medicine for the soul, which I think is just beautifully said. Annie has a master's in consciousness studies and has worked as a teacher, magazine publisher, and a hospice volunteer. She's now retired and lives in New Mexico, recently moved, but she's still in New Mexico. So please help me welcome my wonderful guest, Annie. So Annie, thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, I'm delighted to be here again. It's a great privilege.
Yeah, and I recommend, right, we want everybody to go back and listen to our first show, because Annie and I discussed the book and the experiences and how she wrote and how she chose what experiences to include. So, Annie, they should go back and listen to that episode, and it will give them even more insight into what the book is about.
Well, I think that's an excellent idea, because we're not going to repeat that background again today.
No, that's silly, because we have it already taped, recorded. Go for it. You guys can listen. So my first question today, Annie, is you had other dead people visit before your daughter, or was that your first experience?
That was my first experience, except a dream. I did have a powerful dream after the deaths of my parents. But I had never had a visitation before that.
I understand. Explain. So I know in the book you break it out into different categories of how we receive messages, right, from people who have passed on. Now, your daughter, just for, again, the context of the show, explain how that early morning event after your daughter had passed, share the amount of time and then how she came to you, because it wasn't a dream.
No, it was not a dream. I think it was about 2 weeks afterwards, and I was still just shattered, and I hated waking up in the morning. I hated it, because every morning I had to remember that she was still dead. Sounds ridiculous, but that's the way it happened every day. And I felt a rush of energy, like goosebumps, up one side of my body. And I just burrowed back under the covers, and it happened again, and I put the pillow over my head. I was really annoyed. And it happened a third time, only the third time. My whole body was run with energy. It was just like a river of energy that started in my feet and went all the way to the top of my head. And this was the part, this is this moment, and it happens to many people, where something switches in you. Because I sat up, and out of nowhere, I said, Randy, that was her name. I said, Randy, is that you? If it's you, do something, say something so I know, move something. And I'm looking all around the room, and nothing is happening. And her voice, unequivocally, Randy's voice said, your body knows. And I just sat there completely still, checking out my body, which had felt all these ripples of energy and knew that she was there, she was okay, that this was real. And it was totally shocking and absolutely gloriously wonderful.
Now, is this like a common occurrence for you up until this point in your life?
Oh, well, have
people who have passed kind of come back to you with messages or whatever. Was that happening to you all the time?
No, that was a first.
That was a first.
Mind blown. It wasn't that I didn't think it was possible, but I just never thought about it very much and I'd never experienced it.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Because again, like I said in my introduction, we know. Okay. There's so many white papers. There's so many experiences. There's so many books written on life after death. And yet, because we can't see it, touch it, feel it, we poo-poo it, right? It doesn't exist.
Right.
And here, some people say, oh, she probably has, you know, that kind of sense where, no, this has never happened to me before. And then this very strange experience occurs. And here's the cool thing, Annie, right? You've interviewed people around the world, around the United States, 80 people, I think it was, right? If I remember correctly,
I was 84 when I wrote the book. It's over 100 now.
Isn't that the coolest? So I'm curious. The book's been out for a while, and we have had people read it. And I'm curious the response that you've gotten from the folks who have read the book. What have they shared with you?
Well, it's been very heart touching and powerful, because people. They're validated, because they've had, many of them have had experiences that they haven't been sure about. Was this real? Did it really happen? Did I make it up? Somebody tells them, oh, you're crazy. This can't be. It doesn't mean anything. But after they've read all these hundreds of experiences that I put in the book, they believe themselves. They believe their own experience. They go, oh, it really was real. And then in some cases, I had one woman who knows me well. And so she doesn't have any, had never had any experiences in this kind of field. She's scientifically trained. She evidence-based. That's her belief system.
Absolutely.
She didn't really think, she thought this was, I don't know if she thought it was crazy. She didn't tell me that, you know, but she bought the book and she read just a little bit. Then she read a little bit more and then she read it. And when she read it, she said, wow, well, maybe this is possible. And she wondered if she could have an experience with her father who had died. And she did have one.
Wow.
And she realized that it was because she was open to it. And she got it that she had to do something inside herself to allow that to happen. And it was simply a matter of allowing for the possibility that it was real. And she did that. And then she had a very simple experience. And that was enough to set the stage for a different part of her life. And that was quite touching to me, to realize that someone could be changed in that way.
And it's so funny, because I think we're stubborn. We believe what we believe. And here you have this very scientifically minded person, just open to the concept of, do me a favor again, for the people listening that maybe haven't listened to the previous show, share how, like, you, your daughter, you literally heard her, but you've had other experiences, and the other 8,400 people that you interviewed, they see people who have passed on in different ways. Can you just share some of that too? Because I think that'll give context to the show.
Yes, because there are many different ways. I mean, the most common way is dreams, because that's easier for more people to accept. So, and usually those dreams have a quality of difference in that they are more easily remembered, they're more clear cut, they seem sparkling, you might say, you know, they have a different quality than the rest of our ordinary dreams. So they're more easily identified as something special. There's the auditory, like I have, visual. Some people have visions. People have someone they love show up on the bedroom wall lit up. You know,
cool.
That happens, and it's more than one person, more than three people. It's that I've talked to, and of course, it's many more that have had the experience. Sometimes people have a smell. An olfactory experience, a smell that is particularly connected to someone. It could be pipe smoke or perfume or essential oil, something that's very particular. And it's recognizable. You can tell this is Mary Jane because that's how Mary Jane always smelled, you know. Let's see, what else? Nature, experiences through nature where 50 butterflies show up out of season, or a butterfly sits on your shoulder while you walk for a mile, you know, and or other things of that nature, clouds that form in the sky that have a particular meaning. So that's nature, dreams, visual, auditory, touch. Sometimes people actually feel a familiar touch. It could be a hug. A pat on the shoulder, something
that's
that
cool.
Is recognizable.
That's cool. The touch, I think, would be really cool. It's funny, as you were going through the list, my sister, when we were little, my grandparents lived upstairs and we lived downstairs in the same home. And so every Sunday, my grandfather would go and get, you know, us donuts and he'd give us coffee, which is so funny. We would never do that to our kids today because they didn't have decaf. It was regular coffee. But he smoked cigarettes. So whenever she's at, this is my little sister who was very close to my grandfather. And whenever she's at a transitional point or a crossroad or a tough decision, and she says that what'll happen is she'll be thinking like, what should I do? And then an answer might come to her and she smells the cigarette smoke. Now, no one in our family smokes, right? No one in her house definitely smokes, right? Or anyone around it. So it's not a common smell in her home. And yet whenever there's these big decision points that the smell of smoke will come and she thinks, okay, I know that's what I need to do. I got it. I got your message, which is really kind of cool, right?
It is, because they know things about us, the dead, our beloved dead, that can tell. We have trouble. We're trying to project forward. If I make this decision, will it be the right one or the wrong one? They're going, this is the right one. And then he confirms it with the cigarette smoke. That's a perfect example of both the messages and how they come and of the olfactory experience that confirms the value of that message.
The first time she said it, this is many years ago, and I was like, you're kidding me. I go, did it freak you out? And she's like, no. She says, like, I knew it was him. I knew he was guiding me. And it felt right. Like she said, it was not like, what the heck's going on kind of thing. It's almost a very peaceful feeling, I think, is how she kind of described it. So it's very interesting. Because I think people, and you think, oh my God, I would freak out if that would happen. But I don't think you do, because you feel that person, right?
Yes. It's that moment where I said, Randy, is that you? You know, where I switched from rejecting this or maybe being frightened or something into this other place. It's my daughter. Why would I be scared?
You know, absolutely.
And we recognize these people by the same, by their inner nature, not by their outer appearance.
Right. Because I'd have to ask her, but I don't think my sister ever saw him, or it was just the scent of his cigarette, which was very defining for him because he was the only one in our home who smoked. So So that's why I think that was a defining kind of attribute of him. Now, okay, so as you're traveling, as you're speaking, as you're connecting with people who have read the book now, beyond the ones you interviewed for the book, what has the feedback been in general, and maybe even share a very special story maybe that was shared with you?
Yes. Well, first of all, the feedback is absolutely wonderful. I'm as high as a kite after I talk to these people because it's so awesome. Satisfying to see how they're responding and how they're touched by reading this material. And that's just uplifting. I like it. Just let's say it. I like it, you know?
I want more of it.
Yes. One particular story that just I've always loved, and I've shared it a few times, but it wasn't in the book. It involves actually a couple. There is a man and a woman. They had a, I think it was a, it was his stepson and it was a stepson and a daughter, and I forget which one belonged to who originally. But anyway, over the course, this happened over many years apart, some quite a few years apart, 18 years maybe or something. They both these children died as adults. They weren't children. One of a drug overdose and one in a car accident. And shortly after the daughter's death, she was the one who died in the car accident, and her mother was driving. And she got the message from, and heard her daughter's voice say, slow down and bring the car to a stop. So she slowed down and she stopped at a green light. Nobody stops at a green light, right?
No. You
know? Stopped at a green light and a big truck, shoop, ran the red light. Ran the red light.
Wow.
Right in front of her and probably right where she would have been.
Wow.
I mean, that's powerful. That is powerful.
Had now this woman who, you know, said stop the car, slow down and stop. Had she ever had any experience with her daughter coming to her in the past?
Not that I know of, but I don't. I'm not positive.
Wow. So you know, they say we have guardian angels, and they're usually people who have passed on that's very close to us. Are you finding that, or do people feel that way? I guess I should say after reading the book.
Sometimes people say that, and I've come to see that, you know, whether we call them our guardian angels or our beloved dead, you know, it's just a name. But who, I think that the connection that makes this support so real and strong that it can actually be life-saving is that is love. So there's love between these people who have passed on, our parents, children, friends, lovers. And that is the link that allows us to hear the voice and allows them to know that they should tell us, slow down, if that's the case.
Now, has anyone told you that they read the book and they were like, yeah, not going to happen to me? And reading the book, still a little closed off in their thinking, and then at some point maybe gave in to the thought of, oh, maybe this is possible, and then did have an experience, like where they were almost fighting it because they didn't want to believe it, and then as soon as they kind of succumbed to this could be true, that they had the experience. Has anyone shared anything like that with you?
The closest is the one that I told you about, the woman who was very doubtful at first and slowly read. But no one has said, eh, this is baloney, you know. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people think that, but they don't read the book, you know, if they think that.
Right. But that's true. So your listenership, your readership, I should say, are people who are already open to this concept of, you know, life after death. So that's a good thing.
Me mainly, and which disappoints me, because I really would love for people to read it who don't know anything about this and who are doubtful, because I don't have anything to prove, but these examples might influence them so that they would understand the possibility.
I wonder, Annie, how many people maybe you have had an experience, like my sister smelling the smoke, or someone hearing like stop, and something compels you to stop, but then you kind of go, you know, it was just an instinct, and you don't really think about it again. I wonder how many people, if they read the book and would hear all of your examples through nature and, like you said, through dreams, etc., might say, wow, I actually have had that experience, and I've had them multiple times.
Well, I've had people say that they now believe experiences they've had, but I don't know about the multiple times.
Okay. Yeah. So now they can look back and go, oh, that did happen to me. Whereas before, maybe they kind of discounted it.
Exactly.
Has anybody reached out to you that's read the book or that you've spoken to that said it truly changed their life and what was the result of that life-changing event based on because they read your book?
I don't think anybody's told me that.
Nothing.
Not that it didn't just totally change their lives. No. But
have you had the experience maybe where the person that they were distraught from losing, right, from passing on, where when they did hear from this person in whatever vein it was, that it just gave them such peace and confidence that like all was well?
Yes, absolutely. Many people have done that. I just received an email through my website this week. I have to respond to this man. I always have to think about it a little bit before respond. From a man whose grandson had died very young, 4 years old, I think. And his son, the man who wrote to me, his son had was just fallen apart, and he was wanting, this man who wrote to me was wanting to help this man, because the man who wrote to me had read my book, had seen some of my podcasts, and was very, very helped by that. He found it very, he clearly felt much more at peace about his young grandson's death. What he was hoping to get from me, I don't know whether I can give to him or not, a way to help his son to come to a more peaceful relationship with his son's death.
Yeah, I shared your book, I told you, with one of the women at one of my clients' place, that she shared that her son had passed away in a car accident and very distraught. And you and I had just taped the show. So I said to her, when it posts, I'm going to send you the link, and I'm going to send the book to you, you know, through the interoffice mail at this one client. And it was funny because I explained the concept of the book, Annie, and she says, like, I'm ready for it, but I don't know if I'm ready for it. And I said, well, Annie and I spoke about that. If you're not ready for it, then it's not going to come through. You truly have to have your heart open to the concept and to the experience for it to come through. And I don't remember, so I'm going to ask this question, Annie. The people who have passed on, do they have to also be ready to come forward and connect with someone on this side, on the living side? Have you?
Well, I think it is a conversation, whether it's verbal or not. It is a conversation, and both people have to be available for that. Now, how the availability works for the dead, I don't know. But some seem to come quickly, and some take a little bit more time after their deaths, and some take a long time, 30 years, you know. Someone who, there's a particular man, this is in a story that's in the book, where the man was just hard to reach as a father. Just, he couldn't seem to connect with his son well while they were alive. So his son never felt supported. And the man died, and they had a nice connection as he was dying, but then there was never any connection after that. And 30 years later, the man was still longing to have connection with his father, and he was starting a new project. He was writing books on consciousness, and he really wanted his father's support. And in a deep meditation, he asked for his support, and his father came.
Wow.
And said, I never knew what you wanted before, and now I do. And now I can give it to you.
Isn't that interesting? In real life, while we're alive, we have conversations that are so misunderstood, right? And it's nobody's fault. It's just sometimes how the conversation unfolds. Feelings are hurt. I'm not in a good place. Whatever it is. So isn't that interesting that even after death, we can have that experience of, I never knew what you wanted. I never knew how to connect with you, for you to understand me or for me to understand you. That blows, that actually blows my mind, Annie.
It addresses this whole thing that everything is a continuum, and it doesn't stop because we're dead.
That's right.
So our growth and development that we hope, what I hope we're working on now, continues after death and continues and continues and continues. And I don't know why it took 30 years for this guy to show up, but he did, you know.
I think that's cool. Yeah, it's again, if only, not that we want to rush this, right? But if only we could understand, we kind of understand what goes on the living end, right? Because they've done so much work with the mind, the brain. They hook us up to electrodes and they can see when you're dreaming and all of these other things. So we have a lot more scientific information as well as experiences like you've documented in your book, plus many, many other books that have been written on after-death experience or connecting with people who have passed on. So it would be so interesting to see that realm on the other side. Again, I'm not rushing to get there, right?
Well, when we get there, it's going to be kind of fun, I think.
I think you're cracking me up, but I think you're right because we're so interested in the living world, right? So I would imagine we take that level of awareness or consciousness when we go for that, and I'm going to use the word curiosity. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but we bring that curiosity with us because I think it's just like you said, it's part of our dynamic. Like my grandfather with the cigarette smoke, that was kind of like his signature mark. Not that it was a good signature mark, but it was right. I mean, only it's sad, right, that he was a heavy smoker, but that was his signature mark that defined, and we know that was him. So I think we take some of that essence with us as well. I mean, we don't know, but I do. I like that idea that this consciousness could continue beyond what we know here. So that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. Any other great experience for you as a new author and responses that you've received that have just moved you or touched you that you could share? We only have a couple of minutes left, but I'd love to hear how the book has changed your life, maybe. That's a good question.
Well, I'll just put it this way. I did a workshop, and a weird whole bunch of circumstances happened where only one person showed up for this workshop. So we had a 3-hour private workshop.
Wow.
And it was quite powerful for the woman and for me as well. Her mother had died a couple of months before, and she had been in misery the whole time since her mother's death. She just wasn't recovering. And she came to this workshop where we were going to write a letter to a deceased beloved. Mm-hmm. And we did that in the workshop. There were many other things that we did, but we did that. And she had had an experience with her mother. As her mother was dying, her mother seemed to shoot light all around into her daughter and around her daughter. And it was an exhilarating and marvelous and wonderful experience. And she told many people about it. But when she wrote the letter, she thanked her mother. And that seemed to change everything for her.
Really?
She said she'd never thought of just thanking her mother for this gift that she gave her as she was dying. And she said, I'm filled with joy now after 2 months of misery. And that was just, I couldn't want anything more from my life than to have those kinds of experiences.
Yeah.
It was beautiful for her.
Yeah. And it was, that's kind of cool that through your exercise, your recommendation, that she was able to find the peace. And it happened as quickly as that. Literally, she wrote the letter and all of a sudden she was overcome with it.
Right there. As she was writing the letter, it was transforming her grief into something new.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, we're out of time, but here's the thing for everybody listening. Email Annie if you have a question, certainly, and I'm going to give you her email address. It's manninglyannie@gmail.com. So it's MATTINGLEY and then Annie, ANNIE, all together, @gmail.com. Go to Annie's website. It's AnnieMattingly.com. So ANNIE, MATTINGLEY. Get the information. And you know, for me, Annie, anyone who's suffering because of a loss, and I don't care what the loss is or who it is, a loss is a loss and it's tragic and it absolutely affects us. And everybody handles grief, I think, and that whole transition, right, of coming to terms with that grief differently. If you could read a book that just helps you find that peace faster, you know, to me, Annie, that's just a no-brainer. And again, I shared your book with someone who was, you know, grief-stricken and just really trying to come to terms with the idea that her son was ripped from her. And I, you know, he was young, he was in his 20s. And to me, that's just awful, right, as a mom of a 19 and 22-year-old. So I hope that that book gave her, I haven't seen her now, it's been a couple of weeks, but I really hope that that book provides some solace for her. And of course, I'll get back to you and let you know the outcome.
Thank you.
Really my pleasure to have you on. And I hope that, Annie, if nothing else, we've opened people's minds to the concept of, maybe. And maybe I could get some peace that I just haven't been able to find to date. So I'm really hopeful that the book provides that for them, because to me, this is, the book is a gift. And the only way to accept the gift is to open it. So I hope people buy the book, open it, and actually read it. And I really do, I do hope it gives them that peace that they're looking for. You guys, if you need information from me, please reach out to me at my email address. It's Connie@WhitmanAssociates.com. My partner and I are still offering the free communication style assessment at wisdomdecoded.com. Right on that landing page, you'll see the free assessment. And you get a little report. It tells you kind of your strengths with your communication skills and maybe some of the challenges or hidden glitches that you might not be aware of or blind spots. So please take that as well. Again, Connie@WhitmanAssociates.com if you need to reach me for any reason. Annie, thank you again for just sharing your book, but sharing your experience and some of the wonderful things that people are telling you. I can't thank you enough for coming on and doing that for us today.
You are most welcome. It's been a great pleasure.
It's always a pleasure talking to you. I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that, you know what, change, we've got it. Maybe just open your mind a little bit. Maybe shift a perspective and listen to some of the guests that I have on and realize that change is probably easier than we think. We just have to choose it and then move forward with whatever that change is. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you again, my wonderful guest, Annie. You've all been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net.